It's great to be in God's house. We unfortunately don't have Jeremy with us this morning. His wife decided that she would organise a time away for her and Jeremy to go away, and didn't understand that Vision Sunday was on. So they're away celebrating a bit of time together at Port Macquarie and just relaxing. But thank you for coming on such a hot day. I know the air conditioners are pumping. The girls have got the fans and the paper going. I can see all that. And we are grateful that you're here with us this morning. Let me just pray for us. Jesus, as we enter into this time, as we look at your word and the importance of your word, Lord, and we pray that we will experience your truth in a real way in our lives. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us, Lord. As we talk about the future and we talk about the importance of mission within church, Lord, and may our focus be that. And we thank you for those who have many years who have already been serving in mission, Lord. But help us to redefine and focus what that means, Lord, in your name. Amen. So recently I had to go and get a pair of glasses. I'm at that age, 52. But I had to go and get glasses, and I was having problems seeing people. So, you know, it was more about long vision than short vision. So, you know, I can see Dave right there at the back there. I can make out a shape. I know it's Dave. Is that you, Dave? No. I know it's Dave Wright, but I knew he was there. I can see him. But then I went to got my new glasses. I know, I look very edumacated. Look at that. I can actually see crystal clear. I can see Dave. Hey, Dave. I can see he's got his glasses on. Who else wears glasses? Don't be ashamed. It's the new power. Go with it, I reckon. But in that space, the clarity came. This sense of clarity came for my life. But in that, I think clarity for us as the church, we've always known the importance of mission within church life. But have we actually engaged in that space? Have we actually gone into that with a purpose? Has there been a clarity to that? We might have known it was there and we knew it, but did we actually engage in it and actually understand what it was really all about? You know, over the last 12 months, the leadership, we've been praying about this idea of mission and what it means and what it looks like for us here at Maitland Baptist. And we spoke about some of the history that used to be here at Maitland Baptist and the mission opportunities and how people used to get involved in all sorts of things. And over time, I think, like the vision, we've let it blur and just pushed it aside. Maybe you've done that in your own life, or maybe you're still actively pursuing mission in your life. I don't know. But as a leadership team, we felt the need to refocus and to reshape ourselves and to understand what that looked like and to pray into that. And we've been speaking over the last 12 months with people that we felt and organisations that we looked at. We've gone, we actually need to create some pathways and some partnerships on what we're already doing, but create the partnerships and the pathways where the body might want to engage and be part of something bigger than just here at the local level. We know, if I was to ask you what mission looked like, we're just going to stand for a little bit. If you're in a ministry leader within Maitland Baptist Church, can you stand up? Don't be shy. Stand up. That includes you guys. You can stand up. Are you part of the financial administration team? Yes. Stand up. Music worship leaders, stand up. Are you serving in morning ministry here at Maitland Baptist Church? Please stand up in some capacity. What have I forgotten? Are you involved in youth group? Leadership? Kids church? Crèche? Thank you. What have I missed? Home groups? Who's music? Yeah, the music team. Home groups. What have I missed? In a home group? Yep, you can stand up too. Kids church? Crèche? Play group? Embrace? Does the list go on? What have I missed? Bob's always doing videos. And there's many other things that I'm sure that I've forgotten. Soccer. Yes, soccer. Thank you. Providing meals. Sorry? Worm to Workadosh. Yes. visiting sick people, visiting people that need support at home, supporting the pastors. Yes, stand up. We need a lot of support. Mission, as we look around the room, means many things. Encouraging, yes, if you're an encourager, please stand up. And there's many of you that do encourage, or prayer, yes. The list just goes on. If I've forgotten anybody, please stand. But we are all on mission together. You can sit down if you like, Julie. Julie's going, giving me the eye. What she's reminding me of was a wedding that I did recently and I forgot to tell people to sit down. I couldn't understand what the eyes were about at the wedding. I'm going, what's that? Why are you looking at me funny? My wife's looking at me funny. Anyway, but isn't it great when we look around and we see people in mission? And some maybe, you know, remember stuff that they've done in the past, and some may remember things that they're doing now. God calls us to be a people of mission. It works for me. I've got it going, Steve. And this statement comes up, and I often read this by Patrick Johnston. And I love this. And I love the challenge that comes with this. And it says there, scripture theology, the church, and even Christians would not exist without mission. Therefore, a theology without mission is not a biblical theology. A church without mission is no longer truly the church. And a Christian without mission is no true disciple. For Christians, mission is not an optional extra. For the fanatical few or for the specially anointed, it is a fundamental definition of who we are in Christ and why we are in Christ. You may agree or disagree with that, but I think it's a challenge, a beautiful challenge for us to think about in how we do mission and what that looks like. And we need to encourage each other in the journey to head towards mission and what that means for us as a church. We are called, firstly, the church. We are told in the reference Matthew 16 verse 18, we are told, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The first thing we've got to realize in mission is that mission is about God. It's not about us, it's about serving Him. And He will build His church. Not you and I. We actually don't have the power to do that. God has the power. Jesus has the power to do that. And we're going to allow Him to do that. So often we've seen people with egos, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that in their own strength. And it fades after a period of time, doesn't it? But when we allow Jesus to lead the church, to allow Him to build His church, wonderful things happen. Activity, motion happens. Secondly, in terms of the church, we read that we are the body of Christ. We are all special and unique and have an important part to play. And we've shared about this before, that we want to be a church that recognizes the spiritual gift differences here and encourages one another to use those to glorify God. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 states, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you. So first we have Jesus building His church, and then He recognizes that we all are part of it. We are the arms and the legs, the ears, the fingers, the toes, the eyes, the ears. We are all part. And He's going to use us to bring glory and to use us to do that. And we all have different roles, and that's fantastic. And that's why He's created us all uniquely. In Matthew 25, 35 to 36, it's, and we are called to engage in ministry. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. This is what the arms and the legs are called to do. We are called to be on mission. We are called to show love and grace to people who don't know him. We are meant to give them the physical support, but also the spiritual support that they need. And by doing that and recognizing when we're on mission, we can ask ourselves, are we doing these things? Are we showing people compassion? Are we meeting their needs, both spiritually and physically? What a great challenge that is for us. I've just lost my notes. Yeah, they are. They come back. The Great Commission of the church in Matthew 28, 18 and 29. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." What a powerful passage. That idea of going with a clear purpose, with a clear vision, with a clear understanding that we've God's gone before us and we've got to be prepared to step out into that plate and go. Are you prepared to step out and go? The leadership have recognized the importance of being a church that is willing to go, recognize the church, the importance of being on mission. And as I say, that looks different for all of us. And some of us are already on mission. And some of us understand that and have been living that out. But some of us sometimes just need to get a checkup so that that vision can be clear for us and have clarity and we can understand what our clear purpose is. So we as the leadership have, as I said, been praying for a period and meeting with people, and Clay and Mads have been fundamental in us helping us explore some of these partnerships, and we're thankful for you guys in that space. And we've come up with this idea, and this is our fundamental underpinning of what we believe and why we believe stuff. Loving God, loving people, making disciples, that ever-ending circle, it just continues to go around. And what that looks like for all of us. You got something you want to say there, Dave?
I think that all of us know what it means when certain teams turn up one week and have a brilliant win. And then the very next week, we are shattered by the fact that they lose. And there's a saying which goes, they turned up and won. They didn't turn up last week, they lost. And I think that that's important here for us. We need to turn up. And sometimes, coming back to the sporting side of things, you know, it's all very well for the captain to turn up and the key players, but the team won't do all that well unless the whole team members turn up. And I think that's what we've got to do. Now, what have we got to do to turn up as a team here? And I think it's important that we remember that there's all the basics, just as there is in a sporting team, you have to do. But the most important thing, the thing that's been a challenge to me in the last few months, is just a simple thing of, are we in the right relationship with God? If we're in the right relationship with God, we'll turn up and things will get done and we'll be able to do all those things. We really will. And I hope that you're in the right relationship with God. And that's a challenge that I've had for me. I want to read you a verse. It's Acts 20 and verse 24, and it's a verse that you know well, but I want to paraphrase it, if I may. Paul said, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for doing the work assigned me. The work assigned me. What's that? It's the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. That's it. That's it. If we're in the right relationship with God, then our lives in every single way are going to sort of show that that Jesus means something and can mean something to people. I hope that we all do turn up, that we are all in that right relationship with God. Things will happen, that will happen in a very, very powerful way here in this place.
Thanks, Dave. You know, as a leadership, I think we've had this idea for a while now, loving God, loving people, making disciples, as sort of the core thing that who we are and why we exist and what we want to do. And I think it's an ever-ending process, as you can see, the circle, ever-ending process for us to continue to ask ourselves, what does that mean and how do we work it out? You know, recently I read about vision and mission within church. And it talks about churches that have some simple views of what they're trying to achieve, i.e. loving God, loving people, making disciples, and maintain that simple vision over the long period are more likely to show growth. And the reason for that is because it's constant. It's an ever-ending thing that we build into our DNA. You know, there's massive churches out there, and it mentioned many of them, that have had a simple purpose like ours for a long time, and they haven't changed it. However, like us, they've recognised things, i.e. mission, but they've stayed true to the core calling and just reshaped things. They haven't gone out and, you know, come up with a new name every 12 months or a new strategy or a new concept. We're here for the long haul. We're here for the long race. And this is why we're committed to loving God, loving people, making disciples. And in the centre of that, with this idea of mission, and we as a leadership have been thinking about pathways. There's already pathways exist, but we want to explore those more and we want to create some other ones. And so we looked at three things. We looked at partnerships on an international level and went, what can we have on an international level that we already have to somewhat, and how do we refocus in on that? Scott and Ruth are in the Philippines. Surprise, surprise. You know, been in constant. For those of you who don't know Scott and Ruth, Scott was a member here of the church when Nick and I first got here almost 6 years ago. He was a passionate young man who had been through some deep water and come out the other side and committed his life to go down to Bible College with a vision to connect with the Philippine community. He met his lovely wife, Ruth, and I went down a couple of times and met him down there, and I said, mate, you're going to end up married. And sure as pie, he did. But in that, I've been talking to Scott and Ruth, and they are super keen for us as a church to come and visit them, to come and be part of a couple of things. And we're still trying to, when you work with communities that are a little bit less structured than what we like, it's hard to pin down exact times. However, what we do know is that sometime either in May or June, there'll be the opportunity to, where they have their youth camps, and it's an opportunity for us as a collective church to go across and to be reinvented in supporting the local ministers and the community there to reach out to the young people in the Philippine community. And I know that some of you have already been on this trip, but it's been a while, hasn't it? You know, this sense of refocusing and reshaping or repointing us in a new direction. And there'll be an opportunity not only for us to go and do youth stuff, but Scott's talking to Scott and Ruth will bounce over to their new island in March, where they'll actually be permanently based. And in that, Scott believes there'll be an opportunity, if we want to take it, to do some construction work. So if you're not interested in youth, yeah, Cam's keen, he loves it. There's an opportunity to come across and be involved in construction. And we're not sure what that actually means yet. But also there will be an opportunity if you're interested in providing health and care for some a tribe that are a little bit more remote. Yeah, I can see you, Doc. I'm looking at you. There is an opportunity to go and to care for these people. We want to create the pathway. Scott and Ruth are so excited that we're rethinking mission and reconnection with them. And so from an international point of view, as I've just said, this is where we want to refocus. You know, I keep saying at leadership, and sometimes I must think I'm a bit crazy, but I keep going, the answer is within. The answers are within. And I think for us, in terms of our mission, the answer with connection with God and being clear and providing clarity and actually putting some wheels on are an important part. So if you're interested, we'll give you some more information. Samaritan's Purse. Dave, do you want to talk a bit about this one? Samaritan's Purse was something that Clay Mads and I guess, originally started the conversations in terms of looking for an organisation that would provide us multiple opportunities and pathways for us to get involved in at the local, national, state level. Over to you.
Samaritan's Purse is an international organisation that is not for profit. Its role is to go into areas that have suffered disasters, and we don't have to think too hard here in Australia at the moment to think of areas that have suffered disasters. Samaritan's Purse doesn't go in during the emergency as such, but goes in after the emergency and helping people, bringing hope back to the people that have, you know, have been devastated by whatever the disaster is. I'm just going to show a very quick YouTube clip that was, just produced this week. Just very quickly, the dialogue that was in behind that was just saying, that Australia's been hit very hardly by bushfires. Samaritan's Purse has been very active in both Queensland, New South Wales, and currently in Batemans Bay and in Victoria. The guy that got the hug at the end was a guy named Ian. We worked at his property on Monday just this week. And he said to one of the chaplains while we were working, he said, a lot of people say they know God, but these guys are showing it. And that's what Samaritan's Purse is all about. And if you're interested in being involved, you can be involved in a number of different ways. You can pray. Pray for safety for the teams that are out there. Pray for meaningful connections with the people that we come in contact with. Obviously, you can give, and thank you, Colleen, she's not here this morning, but Colleen has been encouraging us to give to the fire kits. And you can volunteer as well. And there's a need at Batemans Bay and in Victoria at this present time. We'll be working there till the end of February, I would think. So if you're interested in any of that, come and see us afterwards. Or you can go online and, check out.
Thanks, Dave. Samaritan's Purse have a lot of options for us to be involved in. And once again, trying to create those pathways. However, like most things, God goes before us and he creates the opportunity. And when we talk about the emergency stuff, you know, Clay has been a leader in that, and Mads, and going off. And once again, that answer is within. So we thank you for Clay and Mads in that space. And then Dave's got on board. And I think there's a few other people that are interested in that space. Adam's been, thank you. I didn't know Adam had been. That's why he hadn't been in my place, but that's okay. But it's just another opportunity to be involved. And on top of that, Operation Christmas Child used to be a very big ministry here within Maitland Baptist. And Samaritan's Purse actually run Operation Christmas Child. And Anne, through Woosh, has been doing, still continuing that. However, we want to reshape that and refocus our energy in that space and pour more of our opportunity into that. I'm just going to hand over to Jenny to share a little bit in that space. Thanks, Jen.
As you know, just before Christmas, we did, as a church, Christmas hampers, and we still want to continue that as an outreach. We were able to touch 12 families this year and really bless them in a time of great need. And in the middle of the year, we're going to plan in term two, school-wise, sort of Christmas in June, July, we haven't decided yet, and focus on having Christmas boxes then and getting them in early and people doing something. The basic premise is that if you have a shoebox, or we can buy shoeboxes, and there are suggestions to fill these, you can choose age groups of boy, girl, age groups between 2 to 4, 5 to 9, or 10 to 14, and there's a really great list of suggestions that you can put in this. They're basically made up of something to wear, something to play with, something for school, something to love, and something special. And you can also pay a little bit extra, and you can actually watch your box. You know how you can track your mail if you pay for that in Australia, where you can actually watch where your box goes. And at Christmas time, I just want to read just how these boxes can touch people, because this is from my church in Arusha, Vineyard Church that I go to, went to, and will go to. And they were involved, not involved in this, but it says, this is in the newsletter, Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse, partnered with Arusha Vineyard to give over 170 shoeboxes to boys and girls of varying ages. Arusha Vineyard joined with three other churches in the area, and they all came together and had popcorn and sodas, as the kids call it, which is a very great treat for them. And one of the stories and like the testimonies of this is what one little boy said on opening his box. The items inside each box vary from both toys and practical gift. And the little boy's name was Luckson, L-U-C-K-S-O-N. And he'd never received a box before, and he was delighted to find the answer to his prayer. Inside there was a new toothbrush, and he said, I get goosebumps, he said he'd been praying for a new toothbrush, and he hadn't told his mummy that the other one had broken in half because he knew she wouldn't be able to afford one. And here there's a box that someone's prayed over the content of what to put into it, and it's been just the right thing for that particular child to touch them. So I just thought that was really appropriate. So we'll be hoping to all get involved in that as a mission outreach in second term. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. One of the beautiful things, Steve and I had an opportunity to meet with the guy that coordinates Operation Christmas Child here in Australia, and I've got to tell you, we were blessed by meeting him, and just the energy that he provided with us. And you know, one of the things he told me is in terms of the way they pray over the Operation Christmas boxes, when they pick them up and when they get to certain points, they pray over them as they gift out of that. And out of the Operation Christmas Child, they do church planning, which is up there, which is something that we will investigate further as we go along and create those opportunities. Destiny Haven, which is a thing that's once again has already been established through Embrace, the women's ministry, and we just want to recognise that as a partner that we want to mission with them. And there's going to be opportunities through the year where we will hopefully be able to go out and run a services out there, and they vice versa will hope to come and join us. And there's things in out there that are going on, i.e. They do a lot of commercial stuff in terms of food. At this moment, their dishwasher is broken down, and it's something like $12,000, I think it is, to replace. So they're looking for help in that space, and we as a church may be able to help in these things. And these are the sorts of things we'll get involved with in terms of Destiny Haven. Maitland Community Centre, which is a local option. So once again, as I said before, in terms of international, regional, which is some sort of Samaritan's Purse. Now at the local level, besides the things that we're already doing, Nick and I have been engaging with Maitland Community Centre, which is just up here at the shopping centre. So when we say Maitland, not CBD, it's just up here. They do a couple of things that they're keen for help and rather reinvent the wheel, engage in things that are already there. So they have a meal which costs $2 on a Thursday night, and they're looking for a couple of things. So one idea is you can go up and work in the kitchen and help them clean up and food prep. Or the other option is to go and actually just sit at a table and be engaged with people that are struggling in life. And I'm telling you, the stories that you will hear will break your heart. And one of the things that amazed me by going and connecting is they don't ask you, what do you do? You know, when you go to someone's place or you meet someone, well, what do you do for work? This natural conversation. For them, that's not a natural conversation. For them, that's not a natural part of their life. They've got so many other things going on, and it's such a great blessing to be involved in. So there's opportunities to be involved in that also. In terms of, yes, sorry, I forgot about the food thing on, also it's on Tuesday, where we have an opportunity to go up and help sort out, they get fresh vegetables in, go up and help sort out the fresh vegetables so people from the community can come in, fill up a plastic bag and take them and go. Great opportunities for us to be involved at the local level in terms of ministry. Meals. One of the big things, obviously, is about how do we support people that are sick within the church, community, OOSH, the hub coming on in the future. How do we do that? And one of the things we recognise is that we need to come up with a way that we, as a church, can just provide simple meals to people in need. And we've obviously got some new bubs coming up, and it's a great opportunity for us to show love to that family by preparing meals. And we'll be talking about that very shortly. Connect groups. Connect groups are an important part of what I think our mission. You know, they're an important part of, you know, going and being part of a body that have a certain connection to support each other in ministry and in mission. And we encourage all parts. And as we move, roll through to 2020, we want to be encouraging all our ministries to be thinking about mission and what that looks like. And we'll be rolling out, and I'll be coming around talking to the different ministry leaders about that and ministry groups, what that looks like. But our Connect groups, we a great opportunity for you just as a group to work out what can we do in our local community or overseas or whatever. And Nicole's got some ideas that that from our, for our group, I think broader, that may be spoken about. So it's important. And we also encourage, if you're not in a Connect group, to get involved in a Connect group. It's a great way of supporting you, understanding what's going on in your life, but also theirs, and walking alongside. You know, we meet here at church on a Sunday once a week. There's so much more to life, and it's a great way to be connected and supported. Kids Hope Australia. Is a new idea which came out of the principal from when we met with the principal here at Rutherford Primary. So it's the idea where we as a church can send people into the school for 1 hour a week and work regularly with a child in the school. It's a great opportunity, 1 hour a week, that you get to have an opportunity to go in and be involved with a child at the school and just start the connection. But you will also, out of that, in talking to the principal, you know, you'll have an opportunity to connect with the kid's family, and on it goes. And then there'll be other opportunities for us as a church to be involved in that. Nicole has raised a hand, Nicole Teasdale, he has raised a hand to coordinate that on behalf of the church. And we'll have opportunities to be involved in that. And what a great way for us just to connect with our local community. Now, as we talk about this,
can I just butt in really quickly on there? So in the conversation that we had with Andrew Brown, who is the principal up at Rutherford Primary School, just give you some statistics. So 950 primary school age kids attend that school next door. It is a big primary school. He said there would be 50 of that 950 kids who he would consider at-risk children. So children who are coming from not only broken families, because there'd be a lot more of those, but children that are coming from in family situations where it's very unhealthy for them to be. And he talked about one of their kids, a girl, I forget the age of her, she might have been in year five, something like that. She goes to she basically goes to a motel or a sort of a short-term stay place, and she has people come in and they supervise her, but she doesn't even have like a consistent parent or guardian or anything like that. And so here we've got a situation where we've got a school principal saying to us, you know, we would love the church to be involved and to help. And Kids Hope is about connecting one adult with one child for 1 hour a week and building and having a relationship established between that child and that person. So I would encourage you, you know, if when Nicole gets to the point where she's saying, look, can you know, is anybody available to help? What a great and worthwhile thing that would be if somebody's got the space to be able to do that.
We'll all these things look great, don't they? It looks good. And one of the things that I think Peter Brake, when he was on the finance administration team, or the FAT, used to say quite a bit is, you know, you'll understand a church is theology by the amount of money they give to mission. You understand the church's theology by how much they give to mission. And we have been giving. And Steve, do you just want to say something a little bit about that?
There's a slide that's up there if you want to get to it. I want to encourage the church firstly because I think we're doing okay in terms of what we're giving. It really, really is encouraging. So... But what I wanted to do quickly is just have a look at the Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And it's what God's saying through Malachi to the nation of Israel. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And I've heard this verse spoken about in terms of, I think quite incorrectly, about, you know, if you're generous and give, then, you know, all this blessing will flow back to you. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, give, be generous in your giving, be extremely generous in your giving, and God will multiply that and build his kingdom. God's not about building my kingdom. He's about building his kingdom. And so... what we should be doing then is taking joy. Wow, we are part of contributing to what God is doing in the building of his kingdom. It's not about what's going to flow back to me. And so, look, just some numbers there. Look, I hate kind of talking numbers. It's not a natural thing for me. We've been to churches where you hear them talk about money all the time, and we are certainly not one of those churches. But I think sometimes we're probably at the other end of the spectrum where we haven't spoken about it enough. So just on that left-hand side, you can see what our total church giving was in 2017 and 18. And we can see that that our missionary giving at that time was about 14% of our total church giving. The last financial year, 18 and 19, our total giving rose. And so did our missional giving, but the percentage actually stayed about the same. It actually dropped a little bit. What I guess as a leadership team we want to do is try and set an achievable, what we would call an aspirational target for missionary giving. So where would we like to be in our missionary giving over the next 12 or 18 months? And we've tried to be sort of realistic in this, and I would love us to go above and beyond this, but for we're kind of halfway through the 19-20 financial year, but so I've looked a little bit further ahead to the end of the financial year, the following year. And wouldn't it be lovely to think we could give $30,000 a year, which if we increased our giving by about $200 a week as a total congregation, then we could realistically achieve $30,000 a year to mission which is again increasing our proportion of giving as a function of our total giving. So I think that's achievable for us, and I would love us to kind of just take that and say, okay, wouldn't it be good? What areas can I give more in? What it might be a case of, do I have to buy this cup of coffee a week? Can I put it somewhere else? But yeah, and as a longer term aspirational target, I think the leadership would love to see the church reach 20%. If we could be giving 20% of our total giving to mission and outreach, would be a really fantastic target in the longer term. We hope to kind of build up to that gradually. But let's see what God does. Let's be faithful and let's see what God does in that space.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it reminds me of the parable 25:14-30, where the master gives his servants this money and says, "You're in charge with this bag of gold, basically. Go and do something with it." And some invest it, and some hide it under and bury it. And the master comes back and he says, "What have you done while I've been away?" And the response that he gives to the servants when they come to him and say, some, you know, the ones come to him, so "We've invested your money, we've done good works with your money," and then he comes to the servant that has buried his money, and he said, "Oh, I was scared, I was afraid, I didn't want to do that." And I think we as a church are very blessed financially in lots of ways. There's lots of challenges in that too. But we must be committed to giving our portion and giving above and beyond, and as we refocus and we reshape and that clarity comes for us as a church, we want to maintain that and be a church that is known, and we are very generous, and there's many examples of that across, but we want to make sure as a church we are driving forward on our mission focus and doing that. And the scripture that we've looked at is clear about the role of the church, you know, Jesus going ahead and the requirements of the body being involved actively in his journey. And this is a continuous journey for us. This is not going to be something that at the end of 2020 we go, we're done, next. We want to keep pushing into that space of missional living and what that looks like, and being people that are out there in the community sharing the gospel, but also meeting the needs of our community there that are around us. We need to be the light in the darkness. We need to be the people that Jesus needs, that he's calling us to be. You know, at the end of the service, I think we'll put it out here, but there'll be little clipboards. And on the top of the clipboard, it will have, i.e., Samaritan's purse. And it'll have a bit of a definition. And we encourage you to write your name or your details as a person that is interested in that mission. There'll be, and all those areas are covered on these clipboards. And we want you to be active in that and think about what you can contribute into that. There's a pathway. I know some people are doing already as most that they can, and we understand that. But our role as leadership is to create the opportunities for you as the body to be involved in other opportunities. And this list, I hope and pray, will continue to grow. And if there's something on your heart, particularly that you go, you know, Lindsay or the leadership, I want to be involved in this. I want to be the leader. I want to be the champion in a certain area. Please come and see us. But right now, as we come to the end, I'd ask you, if you're with us, and you believe in mission and believe in, you know, being a church that is focused on mission, I'd ask you just to stand with us, because I'm going to close in prayer. But I think it's great if it's a sign of our commitment to that, our agreement with that. I'm going to commit myself. So if you are with us in this journey and you see that you can be part of that, I'd encourage you just to stand right now. And it's okay if you don't, I understand. But I'm going to close in prayer, and I've got to hand back to you at all? Right. So I'm just going to close in prayer for us, and let me do that. Jesus, we thank you for today, and we thank you as we unpacked what a church looks like that's on mission for you. But also, Lord, let you lead us, Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit lead us to be the church. And we've heard your scripture today that you will build your church, Jesus. I pray that we will have a sense and a clarity around our purpose in your mission. Help us to understand that, Lord. Help it not just to be something that's vague and unclear on the side of our lives, but something that's centre and foremost. Help us to serve you and proclaim your name and to go in your name, Lord, as a body of Christ within his kingdom, to serve him and to serve the people that need to know your love in practical ways and spiritual ways, Lord. Help us to be the church and the people that you need us to be. Help us to engage in mission, Lord, and have those conversations as we continue the journey, because it needs to be an ongoing journey, Lord. The long race needs to happen. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will go before us in this. We pray as we come to a time where we can commit ourselves or ask the questions by writing on the boards, Lord, and we have a meal together. Help us the conversation just to be around how we can support each other in mission. We ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Thank you.
So, lunchtime. The girls, I think, are very nearly ready. You might give them just a few minutes if they've got to pull a few things together. So enjoy lunch. I'll quickly say grace and then we're free to move off. Father God, we just thank you for our time this morning. What a fantastic opportunity to share together. And we just pray that as we continue that through a meal, that you would bless the meal, bless our conversations. And we just thank you for each person here. And amen.